Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, just a pleasure to be in the studio as we take your calls from around the world. As always, the number to dial just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, it's equip.org. Via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. This week has been a momentous week in many different ways. We think about the three Islamic jihadists that blew themselves up at the Ataturk airport in Istanbul. It was mayhem, carnage, and of course death for some 44 people now. A young boy from Palestine being among the latest of the casualties. And I couldn't help but think how ironic it is that just about a century ago, Ataturk claimed that the Islamic Caliphate was dead. And then, exactly 2 years after it had been reconstituted under Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, we have this incredible terrorist attack in the airport named after the very man who thought that he was ending the Islamic Caliphate once and for all. And I will tell you, as I've listened to the news, particularly last night, I heard so many pundits and commentators refer to the Islamic jihadists as savages, animals. But let me say that I have become increasingly uncomfortable with that kind of language. Whether it comes out of the mouth of Bill O'Reilly or Geraldo Rivera or even Donald Trump, these people are not savages. They are made in the image and likeness of God. They are horribly misled by an ideology. But that does not make them savages. What they are doing is savage and brutal. But they are people that need to be reached with the gospel. It is only the gospel that can break this kind of a stranglehold. I was thinking earlier today of a friend many years ago, one of the top abortion doctors in the world. You think of the savagery that he was involved in, dismembering preborn children. And then someone came to him with the gospel, and his life was changed, and he spent the remainder of his life seeking to do the very opposite of what he had done, to save the lives of innocent preborn children. Calling such a person a savage may seem appropriate because abortion is the painful killing of an innocent human being. But the reality is we are called as Christians not to repel, but to reach. And I bring all of this up because of one salient reality. I'm absolutely convinced that the only way to fully overcome the Islamic juggernaut is for Christians to rise up and be what they are called to be, ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Not secret agents, but ambassadors for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Those willing to equip themselves, just as the jihadists are equipping themselves to make bombs to, as it were, conquer by the sword, to equip themselves to conquer by the word. If we really believe the power of the Holy Spirit is able to change the life of an apostle Paul who breathed out vile oaths against Christians, we must believe that an Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi can be reached with the gospel. Again, these people are doing horrendous things. But are they savages? No. Ultimately, they are lost. And the commission of the Christian church is to go into a lost and searching world with the message of the good news of the gospel, which ultimately transforms lives not only for time, but also for eternity. Well, I'm in the midst of finishing a book on Muslims, and it will give you everything that you need to know about the life and legacy of Muhammad, about the unbiblical revelations, Ahadith, Sirah, Sunnah, the Quran, what you need to know about Sharia and the horrors it has wreaked on humanity, the importance of the Levant, strategic importance to Islam, about the Islamic State, and about the major doctrinal deviations that drive Islam, a theology that they believe with all their hearts, a theology that they believe is transformational, because it is called for them in this epoch of time to bring the whole world under the rule of Dar Islam, to bring the whole world under the rule of the House of Islam. And when I look at what is happening, as Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world, surpassing Christianity in terms of swiftness of growth, not yet in size, but fastness of growth, as I think about all of that, I think about just how important it is for a ministry like ours to be able to communicate this information, not as refried pablum, but as primary research that you can depend on. I have spent thousands of hours on this book. And I'm in the process of finishing it, as I said. And as I do, I ask that people pray, not only for me, but for this ministry, as we are now in the last day of our fiscal year. I don't know exactly where our deficit is at this point. Yesterday, when I looked, it was $124,000 that we have to make up, and we only had yesterday and today. So I'm simply letting you know about it. And as I said on yesterday's broadcast, I've been doing this for almost 30 years, and I've seen the Lord's faithfulness over and over again. So this is not a cry of alarm as much as it is simply a way of letting you know. If you can stand with us prayerfully and financially, it would be deeply appreciated. I don't think there's ever been a more significant time for a ministry like the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our outreaches around the world. You can give in a safe, secure fashion. Again, here's the contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI is mentioned. The number to dial to get your questions answered live today, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265, and we'll go right to our calls. First up is Robert in Pittsburgh, Kansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Robert.
Yes, Hank, can you hear me?
Yeah, sure.
I enjoy your program and your good dissertations on apologetics. I want to jump to the New Testament. We hear a lot about different churches. Which best form of church government, congregational, Presbyterian, or Methodist Episcopal, do you believe reflects what the New Testament church is about, or do you believe it could be a combination of whatever those three that I just mentioned? Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. And I think, as I have said on the broadcast, in previous episodes of the Bible Answer Man show, I've mentioned that all three of the common forms of church government have roots in Scripture. The three that you mentioned, the Episcopal, where the bishop rules, the Presbyterian, where you have rule of the elders, and the Congregational, where you have rule of, obviously, the congregation. Historically, they have been the basic forms of church government. All three forms are said to be rooted in Scripture, but Scripture underdetermines the issue in terms of which of the three should prevail. And the reason I say that is there has been great debate throughout church history in terms of how it should be. Some of that debate is more recent, but there's been great debate throughout church history. Now, in the early Christian church, the rule was through patriarchs, then bishops, then priests, over the people. And that was primarily the way of church governance for more than 1,000 years, far more than 1,000 years. Now, a lot of that has changed, but I would say the debate has come as a result of the Bible being placed in the hands of people so that they could read the biblical text and start grappling with these issues. So as I've said in previous broadcasts, this is one of those issues we can debate vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over. But having said that, I do not think that this is an inconsequential issue. I think it is an issue of great consequence. I have my own opinions on it. But ultimately, as I said, in essentials, unity, non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. I'm not going to take a call until we come back from the break. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265, because in the remaining day that I have left, I want to once again encourage people to join the monthly CRI support team. When you do, I'd be pleased to send you any one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. The reason I'm emphasizing the monthly support team is very simple. It forms a foundation of giving support that is critical to our endeavors around the world. When you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and its many outreach ministries with your ongoing support. And again, in appreciation, I'd be pleased to personalize a copy of any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. And remember, you can give electronically which saves you time and postage. You can use a credit card, a debit card, an EFT, an electronic funds transfer, many different ways in which you can give, but we ask you to consider doing so today as we end our fiscal year. The Lord is merciful, and together as we stand shoulder to shoulder for the battle that we're facing with respect to life and truth, we can make a difference for time and for eternity. Don't forget that you can also download CRI's Equip app by simply going to equip.org/app. In other words, it's the CRI app, and on that app, you can listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived broadcasts. You can also read articles from the Christian Research Journal, and you can give in a safe, secure fashion. All of that when you download the CRI app. Check it out at equip.org. We'll be right back.
It's only by the grace of God and the partnership of friends like you that enable the Christian Research Institute to combat the assaults on truth and Christian values that followers of Christ experience daily through a growing deluge of media channels. Stand with CRI during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. We'll be back in a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Life and truth are under assault in America in ways that would have been impossible to imagine a few decades ago. Yet Hank Hanegraaff observes the fundamental problem is not pagans doing what comes naturally to fallen human nature. Our culture is in free fall because Christians have failed to think and to live Christianly. Stand with Hank and the Christian Research Institute during June to end the year in fiscal strength and ensure that CRI's arsenal of Bible Answer Man broadcasts, Christian Research Journal articles, e-truths, and other resources remain globally accessible. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing outreaches. As our thanks, we'll rush to you the new issue of the Christian Research Journal, featuring cutting-edge articles including Joe Dallas's Of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Thank you. Life and truth are under assault in America in ways that would have been impossible to imagine, even a few decades ago. Yet Hank Hanegraaff observes the fundamental problem is not pagans doing what comes naturally to a fallen human nature, but Christians failing to do what comes supernaturally to those with redeemed minds and sanctified wills. Our culture is in freefall because Christians have failed to think and to live Christianly. Make a difference and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right to our callers. First up is Erica. She's listening in Dallas, Texas. You're on the broadcast. Hi, Erica.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, Hank. First, let me say I really appreciated the way you opened your show, distinguishing between savages and savage acts. So I really appreciated that. Thank you.
You got it.
So my question is, I have a friend, and he believes in God, but he's not crazy about organized religion. I don't think he had the best experiences with churches growing up, and we've been talking about tithing, and I wanted to know, are there other ways a person can tithe outside of giving to the church that God would consider the 10% giving, getting to him outside of the church?
Yeah, I think you have to look at what giving really represents, or what tithing represents. Moses pointed out in the Old Testament that we tithe in order to reverence the Lord our God always. So tithing becomes a way by which we reverence God. And how do we do it? We are expressing in no uncertain terms that we trust the long arm of God rather than the short arm of humanity. So we trust in God's provision, and that our goal is ultimately to extend His kingdom and build up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. So can you give in other ways? Yes, you can, and still reverence the Lord. But having said all of that, I think that there's an underlying issue that has to be addressed. And that underlying issue is that no one ought to consider the idea that they can be a Lone Ranger Christian. In other words, that organized Christianity is something that they can avoid because they see the pitfalls or the errors or the mistakes or the conflicts within the body of Christ. Because Paul makes plain in Romans chapter 12 that we are one body with many members, and that each of the members belongs to one another. So just as physically we have one body with many members, so in the body of Christ, there is oneness, although many members, and each member is necessary for the functioning of that body. One may be an ear, another a toe, another a finger, but each person contributes to the body of Christ, and therefore the body of Christ is incomplete without those who are taking up their cross and following Christ. And those who are taking up their cross and following Christ are always doing that in community. They partake of the sacraments in community. They worship in community. They're equipped in community. So ultimately, underlying all of this is a necessity to join yourself, albeit with an imperfect church or an imperfect expression of the body of Christ, but to join with the body of Christ so that in communion we can change culture, so that in communion we can worship God, so that in communion we can partake of the sacrifice. I mean, when you're baptized, that's precisely what happens. You're baptized as a member of the body. You are saying that I no longer am isolated, but I'm now part of a community of faith.
Great. Thank you so much. so much. We'll be working on that other part as well. But thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And I think ultimately what we're looking for, and we've been talking about this to some degree, we're looking for people who are not just tithers, but those who are stewards. And what that means ultimately is that we hold what we have with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as He sees fit. And the Bible chronicles the prayer of David as he thanked God for the very privilege. Think about that, the privilege of being able to give to the work of the Lord. The famous passage in 1 Chronicles 29, "Who am I? Who are my people? Who are we that we should be able to give generously? Because everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." And then said David, "Now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you." In other words, what had begun as a spiritual discipline, the discipline of tithing, had evolved into a sheer delight. And I've said it many times before, there's no telling what could be accomplished in our generation if we too catch the joy of contagious giving. Not only would we be empowered to spread the gospel around the globe, but we would be enabled to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the sick, overcome ISIS or the Islamic State. And like our forefathers who founded great centers of Christian education, who established countless hospitals and funded myriad relief organizations, our generation might yet leave an indelible mark on our world. Because only when the training wheels of tithing come off will the world of free will giving become our very playground. And that's the point. What I was saying in the monologue at the opening of the show, I didn't plan on doing a monologue, it was very extemporaneous, but what I was saying there, I think, bears repeating. The Islamic State is willing to do for a lie, although they believe it fervently, what many Christians are not willing to do for the truth. I mean, they're not only putting their money where their mouth is, they're putting their lives where their mouth is. I mean, we watch on television an Islamic jihadist doing what he is doing in the name of Allah, fervently believing that when he engages his suicide vest, he is going to end up in paradise. Now, he has sold a bill of goods. Completely false bill of goods. But they're willing not only to put their money there, but also their very lives there. And quite frankly, if Christians had that kind of zeal for truth, we could change our world and we could, in fact, eliminate the scourges of Islamic jihadism. By the way, I use that phrase advisedly. People don't want to call it what it is. It's jihadism. It is a system of belief committed to jihad. And if you think that that's too strong, wait till you read my book on Islam, particularly the section on jihad and what Sharia says. The first obligation of a Muslim is... These are Islamic jihadists who are willing to do for a lie what oftentimes Christians are not willing to do for the truth. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Lance in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Lance.
Hi, Hank. Hey, thanks for taking my call. And Hank, I really appreciate you speaking the truth and love on these important issues, Islam, GLBT community agenda, and so on and so forth. And I agree with you on a lot of things, Hank. I do, believe it or not, have a disagreement with you on maybe gifts of the Spirit and what you were sharing on tongues. I think that was yesterday's broadcast. And I don't know if I've heard your full view on it, but I think, you know, as I read the New Testament, you know, we are supposed to receive, I mean, the greatest gift, of course, is the Holy Spirit, and He gives various gifts to His people, and I believe that, you know, God intends the various gifts, tongues, prophecy, healing, discernment of spirits, that's all for God's people today. And I think, you know, Paul says that we should earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, love being the, you know, the greatest thing. But I think, I mean, if I understood you right, your position seemed to be that tongues is not necessarily for, you know, personal edification, but Paul does say that we're believers are supposed to desire the gifts, and then he says, I wish that, you know, to the Corinthians, I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but more that you would prophesy, and how believers can be edified individually, he talks about, but his greater concern seems to be for the edification of the church, but he doesn't say that believers are supposed to be edified by speaking in tongues personally. So I just wanted to make that comment. I, you know, we may disagree on it, but I think a lot of, you know, from what I see in the church in the West is there, at least within some denominations, there's kind of an anti-tongues, kind of even a hostility towards speaking in tongues. But I think, you know, New Testament is that we should be very open and eagerly desire the gifts, you know, all the gifts, tongues, prophecy, healing, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me say that you have stated your position in a very articulate way, and I appreciate how you have expressed yourself. It's a great model for all of us as we listen to you express yourself, not only because of the clarity of your remarks, but also because of the kindness of your remarks. And I think that you do find what you mentioned in Scripture, where Paul, for example, says, therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy, but do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Now, I've said this before, but I believe that tongues divide, prophecy unites. And the reason I've said that in terms of the holistic teaching of Scripture is that if you go to the Old Testament, at the Tower of Babel, the confusion of languages divided the people such that they could no longer engage in a humanistic enterprise. Precisely the opposite happened at Pentecost, where tongues united the people. In both Acts 2 and 1 Corinthians 14, the language speakers knew and understood exactly what they were saying because they were speaking in a language with which they were most familiar. Of the people who are united in the sense that they are of different languages, yet they hear the gospel that is being presented in their own language. And so I think that what's important, and that's what I was talking about yesterday, is that if tongues are spoken, and this is what Paul is alluding to in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there has to be an interpretation. If there is not, no one will be edified. But if there is, the church will be edified, equipped, strengthened, and encouraged. I'm going to have to leave it at that. More to say on this subject, but I very much appreciate your point of view. We'll be right back.
As the erosion of truth and hostility against Christians continues to gain momentum, Christians must stand together for life and truth, no matter the cost. Stand together with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to CRI, simply call 888-7000-CRI and support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Should people who feel they belong to a particular gender be allowed to use public bathrooms restricted to that gender, even if their birth certificate states they belong to the opposite gender? Through recent legislation, some states are answering yes, while others are answering no. Christians must determine how they should respond to this controversy. Other topics include, is gay Christian an acceptable identity? Why biologists tend to make bad ethicists, and much more. Stand with the Christian Research Institute. And as our thanks for your gift, receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. When militant secularists are willing to do more for their misguided and morally bankrupt notions than Christians are for a faith that once transformed the world, you don't need to be clairvoyant to imagine the potential outcome. Stem the tide and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the month of June. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
With a reminder that when you go to equip.org, you can also register for our Equip newsletter. It's free of charge. Check it out on the web at equip.org, or you can simply write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We are taking your calls live today. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Back to the phone lines. Next up, Karen, listening in Canada. Radium, British Columbia. Hi.
Hello, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
That's very good. Radium Hot Springs, big tourist town in British Columbia. If you ever get to the Rocky Mountains, this would be a wonderful place for you to come and visit.
It doesn't get much better than that.
You're right. Absolutely. Hank, my question today, actually, I have two of them. I am part of a Bible study that wants to focus on a book written by a fellow by the name of Charles Capps, and I'm a little nervous about him. I don't have a really solid feeling within my spirit that he is a fellow that is really embracing all of the essential Christian doctrines, and I just wanted to get your take on it.
Well, I think your nervousness is well warranted, and you shouldn't be a little nervous. You should be a lot nervous. He is a guy who, I think he died in 2014, but he was a guy who was ordained as a minister in the International Convention of Faith Churches and Ministers by Kenneth Copeland, and then derived his teachings directly from Kenneth Hagin. And that dangerous elixir led Capps to make some of the most outrageous statements in faith lore. In fact, he claims that when someone exclaims, "I'm just dying to do that," or another one that he was famous for, "That just tickled me to death," that person, by saying that, may not mean to, but they are, in essence, butting up with death. And again, this is because faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one creates their own reality. So Cap said that Adam was smarter than doing something like that. It took the devil over 900 years to kill him, but now the devil has programmed his language into the human race until people can kill themselves in about 70 years or less by speaking words. And he is so convinced that the tongue is a creative force that he contends that even Jesus was the product of God's positive confession. So all of that to say that there is a lot of concern for anyone who would make this person the basis of any kind of a teaching or a study within the context of the body of Christ.
How? What other kinds of information could I get a hold of to give to the gal who is really adamant about wanting to work with one of his books?
Well, a couple of things. One is I did write about Charles Capps in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century.
Okay, I actually have that book, so I'll research that and get that to her. I don't recall. I know Kenneth Copeland. I actually became a Christian when he was just starting out in Southern California, and actually attended his teachings when he was teaching in homes. You know, he'd go and there'd be 15 or 20 women all coming to hear what he had to say, he and Gloria. And I was a new Christian at that point, never felt really comfortable with what he was saying, but did sit under his teaching, so I'm aware of what he stands for. But yeah, okay, I will look through that book, and I will certainly get my friend that information so she can take a look at it.
Well, you got it, and thank you so much for your call. When we look at the Word of Faith teachers, they have wreaked havoc upon the body of Christ. And certainly Kenneth Copeland, also mentioned in this call, is one of the most notorious of all of the faith teachers. In fact, he is famous for saying that he was shocked when he found out who the biggest failure in the Bible actually was. And then goes on to say that the biggest failure is God, because he lost his top-ranking, most anointed angel, the first man he had ever created, the first woman he created, the whole earth and all the fullness therein, and a third of the angels at least. So says Copeland, that's a big loss, man. And the reason you don't think of God as a failure is because he never said he was a failure. And you're not a failure till you say you're one, is his takeaway. This is the kind of teaching that you have from the Kenneth Copelands of the world, and it is the very reason that I ended up writing a book called Christianity in Crisis. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Tammy in Charleston, North Carolina, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, Mr. Hank. I really appreciate your show. I learn an awful lot from you.
Thank you.
My question is, I know you're supposed, it says in the Bible that you're supposed to give 10th of your income,
monthly, but for an offering, a weekly offering. Are you supposed to give 10th of your week in the weekly offering too?
Well, I think what's important is for you to give as God leads you, which is to say the New Testament pattern is not so much the tithe, although I don't think the tithe is in any way abrogated. I think that the New Testament pattern is stewardship. I mentioned this to a previous caller, but it is holding your hand out, as it were, with everything that you have in it. And not that hand in a clutched fashion, but in an open fashion. So you can picture a hand open with time, talent, and treasure in it. And what you do is you offer that up to the Lord such that he can take out and put in as he sees fit. And this is recognizing that our role during this very, very short earthly sojourn is to make a difference for all eternity. Because only that which is done for eternity is going to last. And one of the teachings that has been woefully neglected within the body of Christ is that there are degrees of reward in heaven, just as there are degrees of punishment in hell, which makes it all the more critical that we lay up, as Jesus said, treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And I mentioned the word heart in the words of Jesus advisedly, because ultimately all this boils down to a matter of the heart. Whether you give a penny or whether you give $1 million, it ultimately is a state of the heart. God does not look at outward appearances, the number on the check. God looks at the intent of the heart. So we give with a grateful heart as we have been given. That's the whole point.
Okay, thank you. That helps me a lot.
Well, bless you. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Anthony listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Hank.
Nice to talk to you.
Yes. I was calling about an article that says, was William Marion Branham a true prophet of God?
Yes.
And yeah, I read the article, and I wanted to give my opinion why I think he was a prophet.
Well, I can tell you why he wasn't real quickly. I mean, he said in 1963, I believe, that he had revealed not only to his congregation, but also was giving a revelation given to him that he had come in the spirit of Elijah to warn people to flee their dead churches and denominations and pledge their loyalty to the prophet of the last days, which he considered himself to be. He fancied himself as the angel to the end-time church of Laodicea. And he said, and I think this was the date, 1977, all denominations would be consumed by the World Council of Churches under the control of the Roman Catholics, and that the rapture would take place and that the world would be destroyed. So he was not a true prophet. His failed prophecies were a demonstration that he was not a prophet of God and were exceeded only by his false doctrine, including the serpent seed doctrine, which held that Eve had sexual intercourse with the serpent and therefore was able to conceive Cain. Not only that, but he was adamant in his denial of the biblical doctrine of the Trinity. So I have no doubt whatsoever that William Branham was a false prophet. In fact, we have a clip of him saying that Trinitarianism is of the devil.
Now, my precious brother, I know this is a tape also. Now, don't get excited. Let me say this with godly love. The hour's approach where I can't hold still on these things no more. too close to the coming. See? Trinitarianism is of the devil. I say that, thus saith the Lord.
Amen. They not only denied essential Christian doctrine, but what happened is he left a legacy that has been absolutely torturous for his followers. You think about the fact that he was killed in a head-on collision with a drunk driver back in 1965. But friends who believed him to be God born of a virgin thought that he was going to be raised from the dead. And though he is, of course, still in the grave, his end-time message of restorationism lives on in the hearts of so many different people. And his followers have partially or totally deified him and have given his sermons the same status as Scripture, believing that, as he said, that he was the voice of God to this last generation. So counterfeit revival leaders, and this gets back to something I was saying to the previous caller, leaders like Kenneth Hagin, they extolled his work. But the truth of the matter is, his work was deadly, not only in terms of failed prophecies, but as mentioned, also in terms of false doctrine. We'll be right back tomorrow with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'll be taking as many questions as I possibly can tomorrow. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Again, taking your calls tomorrow right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And as I close out the show today, do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We thank you so much for standing with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. What you do really does make a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity. So long for now.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. As the culture shifts toward condoning behaviors it once condemned, so does its language. Yet Christians must resist reframing immorality in positive terms. Is gay Christian an acceptable identity? Other topics include of bathroom bills and basic beliefs, the embodiment of heroism manifest in Christ, thought for food, the genetic fallacy, why accept the Pythagorean theorem, and much more. Stand with CRI during the month of June, and as our thanks for your gift, receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app
and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.